page up and down there.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Okay, Sean.
50 times. We say the same thing.
Well, good evening, or almost evening. It's great to be with you this evening and to share with you what God is doing in our lives. So, my name's David, and wife Rhonda, and our daughter Shan. Our son Joel is not with us. He's 25 years old and lives in Boise, Idaho, and is developing a videography business there. And so, yeah, we'll see him in about a week and a half, so we're excited about that. We've been Nazarene missionaries for almost 16 years. We served for 8 years, from 1999 to 2008, in Philippines, and then a couple of years in Australia. And then we came back to the States for 8 years for some medical care for Shan, who was at the time having challenges with epilepsy. And then she had some surgeries in 2015 that stopped her seizures. And we praise God for that. In 2016, we were looking for our next ministry, and we contacted Nazarene Missions and asked if we could go back as missionaries, and they said sure. And so we did not know where they would send us, but there was a need back in the Philippines. And so for the last 6 years, my primary job has been a field education coordinator, working with two Bible colleges in our districts to develop education. And then for the last 3 years, we have continued our Philippine Micronesia assignment, but relocated to the island of Guam, where we have been serving in pastoral ministry at our Guam First Church of the Nazarene. Well, in less than 3 weeks, we will return to Guam for about a month and a half, pack up, and then move back to the Philippines for the fourth time now. And I will have a new job as the academic dean of our theological seminary, still working in education. And so then I'll let Rhonda introduce what she's doing.
Good evening. I'm Rhonda. It's nice to be here. I think this is my first time to Klamath, so it's a beautiful place here. But I've been serving on our field as the member care coordinator. Anybody ever heard of member care? That's missionary care. Our region has been working hard at developing missionary care on the home fronts, right where we're serving in that. And the Church of Nazarene does a great job of taking care of the missionaries. We have great health insurance, training, resources, and all that. But our region was wanting to help even more right there on the front lines of our ministry. We do not want our missionaries to return to their home country sooner than God intends. It can be very stressful living in another culture that you didn't grow up in, and that. And so this is something that we're intentionally doing. And what's really cool is that this last year, the Global Missions has appointed a missionary couple to serve as member care coordinators for the whole entire world. So they are working on making it more intentional too, all over the world where our missionaries serve. Another area that I've recently been asked to serve in, they call it equipping and engaging coordinator. And the region and our field has asked me to serve this. It's going to be something that's growing organically, so invite us back in a couple of years and I'll tell you more about it. But they have asked me to help develop coming alongside missionaries, people who have been called to be missionaries through the Church of Nazarene, help identify them on our field, as well as journey alongside with them through the Nazarene process. We do have a lot of missionaries from the Philippines who are in other countries, such as in Papua New Guinea, Thailand, Cambodia, and other places and that. And around the world, people are coming from all different countries besides North America serving in countries and that. And so this is something that we're intentionally doing, and they've asked me to help develop that.
There we go. Down. We'd like to share with you today our vision for ministry. and invite you to seek how God would have you have a vision similar to this. Our vision is to be used by God in the great harvest by making disciples in whatever creative way God directs and leads. We serve on the Philippine Micronesia field, which is made up of 12 districts in the Philippines and the one small district of Micronesia. On our field, we have almost 30,000 members and 450 churches. We were not able to get back to the Philippines, although we've had responsibilities there, for over 2 years because the country was closed, and it was very difficult to get there because of the COVID situation. But finally in May, we were able to get back there for the 50th anniversary celebration of the Church of the Nazarene in the Philippines. The church began work there just after World War II, and now we have 12 districts there. We gathered together in downtown Manila with 4,000 other Nazarenes for this great big celebration. And during that service, our field strategy coordinator, Pastor Arnel Pilien, shared with us his vision for the field. And he calls it Rise Up and Go, or you can see the Tagalog up there. And his vision is that by the year 2030, we'll have 100,000 Nazarenes and 1,000 churches. Well, how can we ever reach that goal if every believer plants seeds of the gospel by witnessing and sharing their lives with others? And if every church plants a new church, we can watch those seeds grow. God will grow those into a harvest, and we can bring in the harvest. Jesus told his disciples just before he went to heaven what is called the Great Commission. And I invite us all to read this together. This is a focus of our message tonight. Let's read it all together if you can see that. All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Our field's name, begins with the words, rise up, get up, continue climbing upward like these mountains from Guam. Go from where we have been and presently are, and follow God's call and leading. God comes to us with the message of the good news of salvation through his Son, Christ Jesus. And the first thing we must do is rise up and recognize Jesus Christ, believe in him, and accept his authority in our lives. Jesus came to his disciples on the mountain and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." God, our Father, has given Jesus Christ, his Son, all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus in the garden prayed right before being handed over to be killed on the cross. In John chapter 17, verse 1, he prays to his Father, who is also our Father. He prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God, our Father, has given Jesus Christ, his Son, authority over all people. All people whom God has given to Jesus and who believe in Jesus will be saved through him. Jesus will give them eternal life. Jesus responded to Thomas's question in John chapter 14, verse 6, about not knowing the way to where Jesus is going. If you remember, Thomas asked him, "How can I know the way?" And Jesus answered him, saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." God, our Father, has given Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth to be the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent from heaven to live with us and teach us the way to God, died for us, was raised up and is alive today, and through him gives us eternal life. Do you believe this?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Let's just take a moment. We've been praising God this evening with song and prayer, but let's just take a moment to just let everything go that's been leading up to throughout this day that's happened today, this weekend, this last week, and let's just release that to God, and let's just give him our full minds, and let's just express our belief in him and his son Jesus. Father, we as your sons and daughters just come before you right now, and we want to express to you our belief in you, our belief in your son Jesus. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your chosen one, your son, to this earth to walk in our midst, to teach us, to show us the way to you, to die for us, to be raised up by you, and to ascend up into heaven, and to send the Holy Spirit to live in us. Thank you, Father, for your grace upon grace that you're pouring out upon us. Father, sometimes we may doubt. Maybe some of us have some doubt right now. Father, in our times that we doubt, would you help us to trust in you with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for just your patience. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, rise up and seek God with all your heart. Rise up and listen to Jesus. Rise up and obey him. Rise up and be his disciple. As Jesus taught us, there's only one way to God, and that is through him. Hear this. See this. Receive this. Understand this. Live this. Once we recognize Jesus' authority in our lives, rising up requires discipling ourselves. How can we help others grow in the Lord if we ourselves are not growing in the Lord, if we're not spending time with him daily? We need to get into God's word daily. We need to pray. We need to regularly be a part of a fellowship where we're worshiping God, learning and growing together, encouraging each other like we're doing this evening. One of my favorite places to go and just spend time with God is here, Rotidium Beach. And boy, am I missing that today. On this particular day, I hit a wall. I just needed to get out of the house, and I needed to get into creation and spend time with my father. And so we just packed up the car and drove up 20 minutes to this beautiful beach in the northern part of Guam. And I just went out there on that sand and put my fingers, imagine with me, I just put my fingers into that warm sand and felt God's creation in the sand and put my toes into the sand and curled them in that warm sand and listened to the waves hit the reef and the crashing and the wind in the air and the blue sky and the warmth of the sun upon me, and right behind me is a jungle. You guys have trees, pine trees and stuff like that. I have this jungle behind me with butterflies flying out over the water and back. And I just met with God, and he refreshed me. Besides getting into the Word daily, we need to be seeking God daily. We need to seek his knowledge, his understanding, his ways, and his direction. I'll be honest, I'm 55 years old, but you know, most of my life, I haven't really been spending time with God daily. I've let busyness get in the way. And so I struggled a lot with that. And weeks would go by, even months, and you know about dry desert times and that. And it was probably about in my late 30s or early 40s that I realized I don't have a firm foundation in God. There's a lot of voices out there about God, a lot of ideas that people come up with, and I thought, which is true? I didn't know. And so I realized I decided to set aside the books, commentaries, whatever, and to get into God's Word and make that my source of God's teaching. So at that time, I just began to journal the Bible, and I started in the book of Hebrews. I don't know why I started there. That's a really hard book to start in, but I did. I started in there, and I just took it verse by verse, and I would type in my computer explaining what's happening in that verse. And I would pray before I spent time with him, and I would just pray and say, God, help me to understand what you want me to understand, and teach me what you want me to understand. And then I would dig in. It took me like 3 months to get through Hebrews. And that wasn't because the book was so hard, because it was hard, but it was because my pattern of spending time with God was terrible. And so a week would go by, week and a half. But you know what was important? I kept trying. That was my goal, to become consistent and meeting with God daily. And so I just kept trying, and I kept trying. And over the years, I'll say these past 10 years have been pretty consistent, and has been the best times I've been spending with God. I like to spend it in the morning with him. And then after I journal whatever passage or paragraph I'm working on, I will, here in Guam, I will go outside. Our church, our house is right behind the church. And this, how many of you know about alabaster? Familiar with alabaster? Ooh, alabaster, okay. One of our ways of giving in the Church of the Nazarene to help build hospitals and churches and district centers and all kinds of things. Our church building was built by alabaster. So thank you so much for your part in that. And so I will go out around this property and I will walk. And it takes about 8 laps to equal a mile. And out there, I'll meet with God and say, God, what do you want me to remember from what I journaled? And then he brings those points, those main points. And we wrestle it out together, we pray together, and he just takes me deeper in him.
After we rise up, we need to go. Just like this gecko stuck on our car window one day. And he had a nice ride for a while, but he fell off. And I don't think it was very pleasant for him. But anyway, we need to rise up and go. This is our call and life's purpose. All of us are part of God's mission to reach the world. There are no disciples who just simply exist. Ministry is not just for pastors or missionaries, but for all believers. Our church celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. It was started in the late 60s by U.S. military on the island, and then over the years it's become much more multicultural. Many hundreds of people have passed through our church over the years and are now scattered around the world. They've heard the gospel at our church, and now they take that with them all over the world, and they impact people. In fact, the last 2 years, because of the COVID situation on the island, we've lost 20 people to the mainland because of the poor job situation, no tourists on the island, and so they came to the States to look for a better opportunity. Jesus comes to each of us with the command, go and make disciples. Everyone is in this mission. Some will go far away, and some will stay right here. And we've been traveling around Oregon now for about a week and a half, and this is a huge mission field here. You all are in a big mission field. And so the question is, do you hear the call of Jesus on your life? I really like that verse that was read earlier, that pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prepare the people of God for works of service and for maturity. Jesus sent his disciples out together. We do not have to do this by ourselves. We do this together, this mission of reaching our children and our youth and our families and our community. We moved from Manila to Guam in August of 2019 to help develop the ministries in Micronesia and the island of Guam. God helped us during that time. Guam is an important island for the U.S. government. There are two big military bases there, and they're building a third one, a huge marine base with 5,000 they're bringing in the next couple of years. It's also the economic center of Micronesia, but it's also an important launching point for the gospel. We have often, those who have worked in the Church of the Nazarene in this area said that the Guam Church is the launching point for so many other outreaches across Micronesia. There are 170,000 people who live on this island. It's only 7 miles by 30 miles. But on any given Sunday, only 5,000 people go to a church like this. So we have a lot of mission work to do there. 2 years ago, we were doing our home assignment like we are now, traveling around the churches. Our church in Guam could not meet together because of the COVID and restrictions and things like that. You probably had the same thing here. And so I was preaching sermons and uploading them. So one day I was out doing this devotion, and I don't know if anyone ever listened to what I had to say, but Shan said she listened. Thank you, Shan. But anyway, I know the horses were listening that day. They're really interested. And so we got back from our home assignment in December of 2020, and the church was at a low point. We did not have a lot of people coming. All our ministries were stopped. And so we were just thinking, how can we restart this church? How can we get it going again? Maybe you had the same kind of thoughts in your church. And so as we prayed, we felt God leading us to talk to the young people. We had a few youth who were helping us with our music. And so we talked with them and said, would you like to get together and let's do some planning for 2021. And so we set aside a day early in 2021 in January and got together. And to our surprise, 14 showed up. And some of them we didn't even know. They were just so eager to get together. And as they were planning and talking, one of the first things they said they wanted to do was to study the Bible, get together on a regular basis. So beginning in January, up until now, every week after the morning service, from 12 to 3, sometimes later, they have been getting together for lunch and Bible study and a little fellowship. They're at our church from 9 until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Real dedication. And oftentimes, they lead their own Bible studies. We just kind of stand in the back and we're around to encourage them and help them if they need it. Sometimes fix lunch for them or whatever. But it's been exciting to see them grow. And so this is a video that they put together of their summer activities in 2021. The schools were still, you know, not meeting together, and everything was online. And things were just starting to open up. And so they said, let's do some activities and ministries. And so they put this video together. I just kind of borrowed it from them. And so great activities. This was a real launching point. So over the summer and this past year, we've had over 50 young people come through our youth ministry. And on any given Sunday, we might have 15 to 20 in church. They might be half our congregation sometimes. This all started with prayer and obedience to God's call to go. But we must be careful not to plan ahead of God as we go. When we first came to Guam Nazarene, we had made strategic plans about leadership development and ministry and all these great things we were going to do. And then COVID came, and none of those things worked out. We had to trust God, go to God in prayer, and follow His leading. And He led us to the youth. And now they have really helped jumpstart our church and our ministries. So, and you can see just some of their activities. This is, I'm not sure if this was one of the days they were having their Bible studies or whatever, but they just had they have a great time.
That's a lock-in, I think.
Oh, maybe that was a lock-in. Okay, Shan. Thank you. Yeah. So I'll just let that run for a moment. But now we are going on to new ministry assignments, moving back to the Philippines in just a couple of months. And these new assignments will be challenging to us. It'll probably be one of the most challenging things that I've ever done, to work with the seminary. So I think they might be working on something that for this Christmas. But anyway, so we're going back to the seminary where we started our ministry back in 1999. But we do not know exactly what all of this will look like. There's going to be a lot of challenges for me as I bring some programs together and help our seminary develop. But this time, we want to go with a lot of prayer and trusting in God, not rushing ahead. We've learned an important lesson, to trust God, go to Him in prayer, and then follow in obedience.
There is a great need and opportunity to make disciples. Whom do we make disciples? Jesus said, all the nations. In Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, Jesus told the story. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Our church has developed a relationship with a small Christian college on the island, and this past year, one of the students from the island of Chuuk, his name is Maddie, did his ministry internship there at our church and worked really closely with David. Islanders know how to celebrate, and I love these pictures of them. You can see the leis that are on them, and like this is a graduation, and they will make leis out of money, cookies, candy, and all kinds of creative things, and just pile them up to where you can barely see over them.
My ginger right there in the middle.
Yeah, our church and island are multicultural, and we have a great opportunity to make disciples who will go out and make other disciples all over Micronesia and beyond. Jesus calls us as his disciples to make disciples. Plant many seeds, water them, and trust God to do the growing in his amazing and miraculous ways, and when ready, harvest them. Paul the Apostle knew about the importance of planting many seeds. He devoted his life to making disciples wherever he went, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, he wrote, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." How do we make disciples? Well, first, we plant seeds. Now, David, he has tried to plant a garden in Guam. He's from Spokane, Washington, and he grew up with a garden, an acre garden. In his free time growing up, he worked in the garden. When his friends came over, they worked in the garden as well. So I love fresh tomatoes. The tomatoes we get in Guam come over a ship. And so you can imagine what they are like by the time they get to us. They probably were very hard and green to begin with. But so David is trying to grow fresh garden tomatoes for me. So right before we went off island, and here's some island talk. When we leave Guam, we're off island. When we're on Guam, we're on island. Right now, we're on the mainland. You guys are all the mainlanders. So when we went, just before we went off island, David had this tomato plant that was growing like a vine, and I mean a long vine, that produced a lot of yellow flowers on it, which all fell off, except for one little yellow flower. It produced a small little red juicy tomato, and I ate that, and that was so delicious. Well, thankfully, God grows the seeds much more successfully than David's gardening does. The seeds of the gospel that we plant, God will grow to the point of being ready for harvest, like these banana trees that are ready for harvest on our church property. Did you hear that? We've got bananas on our church property, and these are these small kind. Anybody ever tasted small little bananas that are so sweet and tangy? That's what we get on our church property. And right before we went off island, we had like six groves that were almost ready to be harvested. And on a side note, I know you want to know this, last Christmas, instead of putting up our artificial Christmas tree, we went out to our banana grove and we cut down a bunch of bananas, brought it into the house, and made it our Christmas tree. And then by Christmas Day, they were ripe, so we ate our tree. God has given each of you a mission field where you can plant seeds and water. Pass on to others what God is teaching you. Teach your children of all ages from 0 to 125. Put into practice what God is teaching you. Practice God's values with other people in your family, your work, while you're driving, going to church, school, everywhere. Encourage others to seek God and grow in Him. David, Shannon, and I, we've developed many relationships with the people of our church, and as you guys well know, developing relationships is hard and takes a lot of time and effort. This is a picture of David working on our church vans. We've got two church vans, and they seem to always need a lot of work. So he has a lot of opportunity to bring some of the youth alongside him, and right here he's teaching them how to fix the brakes. And as he's doing that, he's mentoring and planting seeds and watering them. Now, Shan, how many of you have met Shan, our daughter? Yeah, she gets around. Shan is an excellent seed planter. Wherever she goes, she meets people, whether it be at the local mall, the local market. Right before we went off island, Shan had a grand championship softball game with the Special Olympics. And at that grand championship game, she got a selfie with the governor of Guam, a selfie with the former governor of Guam, a selfie with a couple of senators. On her way here, she got a selfie with the United Pilots. And that's not the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. And you see a selfie of her with Jeff the Pirate. Jeff owns a famous restaurant there on Guam, and she's gotten to know him. And whenever we go to his restaurant, she will message him, and then he will usually make it a priority to connect with her there at the restaurant, and then he'll give her some great discounts. Secondly, we need to water seeds. Often the seeds we plant through our testimony will be watered by others who follow us, just as Apollos came behind Paul and helped the Corinthians to grow. The work we do is built on by others. We are all part of a team. Oftentimes we will water seeds that we planted or others planted. One of the most significant ways we can water seeds is by loving people and showing them the compassion of Jesus. This family is very special to us. This is Scable on the left, Grace in the middle, and Skagey on the right. Grace started coming to our church there in Guam maybe about age 3, and her brother shortly after that. They have lived all over Guam. It takes about 2 hours to drive around the whole island, but they have lived all over, gone to many different schools. They've lived with many different family members. Even in the last 3 years that I've known Grace, she has moved about 6 times. But there's one thing that's been consistent in their lives, and that has been the Church of the Nazarene. No matter wherever they have lived on that island, somebody has gone from our church and gone and picked them up. And as a result, seeds of Jesus have been planted in their lives and watered. God has been growing those seeds, and they have been harvested for Jesus. Skabo, on the left, he's our drummer in our church, and he's also active in like doing PowerPoint and a lot of other things. Grace, she's 19 years old, and she's one of our church board members. Just recently, she started going to college at that small Christian college that Maddie just graduated from. She's probably the first one in her family to go to college, and so our church is coming alongside her as she goes to college, and we want to help her in whatever way. And then Skagey, he's very active in our youth group as well. Third, we need to trust God to grow the seeds. We must trust God to grow them in his amazing and miraculous ways. We have witnessed God's work in many people's lives over the past 2 years. And during the pandemic, we had hardly any children coming to our church. They just disappeared for about 2 years. We would bring some teaching packets of the Bible to some of the children and that, but really, we just had no children. And so our church has been praying to God and asking Him to bring children. And this past summer, we did a VBS and we had 35 children come to VBS. Yes, amen. And then right in the months leading up to going off island, we have been regularly having about 10 children coming to church. And so, the church, let's see, that some of those children have even accepted Jesus as their in their heart. Even when it seems like God is not working, He's growing the seeds we plant and water. You know, Grace Scabo and Skagey, who I shared with you about, they have a younger brother named Finfin. He's like 7 or 8 years old. He's in my Sunday school class. And I showed them the Jesus film for children over about 3 weeks. And the third Sunday, Finfin accepted Jesus as his Savior. And 2 weeks later, he was baptized. God is not done growing the seeds that we have planted. At the end of September, we got word from Pastor Mike Litzy. He's a retired pastor who pastored in Hawaii and now lives in Nampa. He agreed to come over to Guam and serve as a volunteer missionary while we are off island. And we got word from him that he took in 10 new Nazarene members. And then just this last week, we got word that he took in another member. We were so concerned that while we were off island, that our church would go backwards. And our church was concerned about that too. So we've all been praying that God would continue to move us forward. And as you can see, God continues to move our church forward. As David and I and Shan prepare to transition to a new ministry, we have to trust God to continue the growth. But growth happens through our obedience to rise up and go. And fourth, we need to harvest the fruit. Our goal is to harvest the fruit that plants produce, and we praise God for the growth of our youth. They have become key leaders in many ministries of our church. They were key helpers in our recent vacation Bible school. The last Sunday of every month, they lead in the worship and help out on most other Sundays. They have been taught how to run the PowerPoint and sound system. We have several young adults now serving on our church board. Ministry is just not for pastors. Every believer in Jesus has a ministry of disciple making.
Jesus told his disciples to make more disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is the testimony that the harvest has been brought in. The harvest has come in surprising ways at times. In the summer of 2021, someone came to me and said, "Pastor Dave, I want to be baptized." "Sure, let's plan for it. Who else wants to be baptized?" So 12 people were baptized that summer. And then this summer, we had 4 baptisms. So even when it seems like things are not going well, the seeds are growing. And God is bringing in the harvest. God is also working on the Micronesia district in spite of our many challenges there. We have 4 small churches on 4 remote islands, Guam, Saipan, Chuuk, and Pohnpei. Our district superintendent, Reverend Timothy, and his wife Lydia Kim are retiring now and returning to South Korea. So we need a new district superintendent. And then Dave and Helen Ann Butcher, our missionaries in Saipan, are also retiring. We have a new missionary coming from South Korea. She's already there in Pohnpei, Kyung-hee Kim. And then we have new missionary family serving on Saipan, the Taflinger families, Chad and Angela and their children. And now we're praying that God will raise up a leader for the Micronesia district as a district superintendent and as a pastor of our Guam church. It'll be the same person. We have a potential couple from the Philippines, and now we're just praying that they can get their visa, U.S. visa, so that they can come to the Philippines. And so God is working. We have less than 200 members in all of these churches, and a population of 320,000 in all of these islands. And so we have a great big mission field to do. The harvest is plentiful also in the Philippines. The Jesus film, which is the story of Jesus based on the Gospel of Luke, has a special ministry on our field. For a while, it was set aside, but relaunched this year with a new Jesus film team who travels to different districts, and they train local teams who go out in their communities. The Jesus film, all of their equipment, they pack into a backpack about this big. And then they go to villages like this, and they show it to people. And then people will respond. And then we need to organize them into Bible studies where they can be discipled and trained and nurtured in the Lord. So we're praying that God will raise up leaders for these new churches. We have the goal of planting 60 new churches this year through the Jesus film. And then as they grow, we need to find places for them to meet. Jesus told his disciples also to make more disciples by teaching others everything that he taught us. Teaching the good news about Jesus is part of making disciples. In making disciples, we must first teach ourselves to listen to Jesus. Then we will be equipped to teach others. And as we get to know Jesus more and we grow in him, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the big harvest that is around us. Island life is not always easy, especially for our young people. But we're seeing them grow deeper roots as they mature in their faith. This is a picture of them taking a class called Introduction to the Bible. This is actually a class that's taught in Africa to pastors. And they were just so eager to learn about the Bible. I devote a lot of my time and effort to theological education, the training of pastors and lay people. One of the ways we have been doing that is through our extension education program. We have extension centers throughout the Philippines, especially at local churches and at district centers. Well, because of the COVID situation, those centers were not able to get together. There were restrictions about gathering and community and so on. So for the last 2 years, we've been holding Zoom classes. This is one that I taught this summer, just before we left for our home assignment, on the topic of apologetics or explaining our Christian faith to others. And so most of the people in this class are lay people. They want to study. And so they enroll in our course of study. We want to enroll as many people as we can. And then as they study, some of them say that God is calling them into ministry. Others will start a Bible study in their home. Or sometimes they will even be the leaders of their local church. For example, the lady on the far right, Pastora Mary Lou, she's probably at least 70 years old. And she is pastoring her church in the northern part of Manila. The pastor left and she stepped up and has been leading her church. And she is just about done now with the course of study and will be soon ordained. So God can use all types of people in all walks of life. Most of our pastors are coming through our extension education program. It's exciting to see what God has been doing. Well, as we begin to wind down our presentation this evening, we want to share with you what we call the five questions. These are five questions to seed planting and making disciples. And so these are really challenging questions. They're challenging for me, for Rhonda, for everyone that asks these questions. So the first question that helps us is this. What am I doing here? This is the question that God asked Elijah after he beat the prophets of Baal. And then he went to a cave and he wanted to give up. And God asked him this question. So you can substitute the word here with wherever you go. So when you go to the grocery store and buy groceries, what do you go there for? Food. Well, that's the wrong answer. Why do you go to your jobs? Okay, Shan's heard this before. Not to make money to pay the bills. That's kind of a secondary. You go there to plant seeds. Everywhere we go, our job is to plant seeds. And so, we have jeepneys in the Philippines. You know what those are? Yeah, they look like a bus in the back and a jeep in the front. You can be a God-called jeepney driver. Wherever you are, whatever you do, God has you there to plant seeds. A second question. Oh, I forgot to fix this. So the second question, it came in the wrong order. Whom do you see? In Mark chapter 5, there's a story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee in a storm. And then when they get to the other side, there's a demon-possessed man named Legion, the Gerasene demoniac. And Jesus casts out the demon from that man. And then they head back to the other side. It's like, why did they go across the lake? For that one man, it seems like, in that story. When Rhonda and I went back to mission work in 2016, we were invited to go to our regional office located in Singapore for some reorientation and some training. So we get there with other missionaries gathered around the table, conference table, and kind of excited. Yeah, all right, we're back into this. I'm ready to get some new ideas. And our teacher stands up and he asks us this question. Do you know the name of the taxi driver who brought you here today? Oh, pop quiz. We all fail. None of us knew the name of our taxi driver. We were so caught up in our own little worlds that we didn't even take time to get to know the person. Well, the next day, we all knew the names of our taxi drivers. We knew about their families, about Singapore. We had about 10 minutes to love on that person and to plant seeds. So I'll turn the question around to you. Do you know the person who sold you groceries this week?
Or pumped your gas.
They have little name tags. Yeah, we had Dave today in Oak Ridge. They have name tags. You've got probably 2 minutes to love on that person and to plant seeds of the gospel. Just think, you know, they probably have a lot of angry customers all day. And here you come along and you make their day. And in a small community like this, you get to know them after a while. And as you get to know them, you're not just simply planting seeds, you're actually watering those seeds. And so the third question, what is in your hand? You might feel like, you know, I can't do this. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. Well, look what happened to Moses. He was a shepherd. And what did he have in his hand at the burning bush?
A staff,
a piece of wood, a stick, basically, right?
Yeah.
Just a little piece of stick he picked up. Well, what did he do with that piece of wood?
Many miracles.
Yeah, they crossed the Red Sea, water from the rock. They won in the battle when he held it up. Many other things. And so you have everything you need right in your hands for what God has called you to do. The next question, number 4. Paul the Apostle asked this to the Corinthians. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Everywhere we go, we take the temple of God. We're not by ourselves. The Holy Spirit is with us. So we might even be in the middle of all these non-believers. But you know what? Who else is there? The Holy Spirit, God's presence, the power of God, the very temple of God is right there in the midst of all these people. Wow, isn't that powerful? So we don't go by ourselves. And the last question is really the hardest one. And this always bothers me and bothers us. What if everyone made disciples like me? What would the world look like? Ooh, probably not too many more disciples, huh? This one really convicts us. But you know what? We don't have to do this by ourselves.
Well, this evening, we've been reminded or we've learned that all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And then Jesus commands his disciples, and that includes us as his disciples. He commands them to go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that he has commanded. And then he leaves his disciples, including us, with this promise. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We cannot do this mission on our own. We need the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus. I just want to, as we bring this to a close, I just want to share with you a little bit more of my journey. About 4 years ago in Manila, in the second floor of our house, in this little room where I like to meet with God in the morning, I one morning just took what I call a spiritual step in faith, and I said, and I just started praying, God, I want to know your presence. I know, I trust that your Holy Spirit lives in me. I know this in my head, but I just want to know your presence. I want to know the difference between my emotions and what is your presence in my life. So I've just been making that a part of my prayer life, and I've just been praying, and then God has been showing me his presence. And I can stand here before you. Yes, Jesus is with us even to the end of the age. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your walk with God, I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling to meet with God daily, on a daily basis, tonight, just make a commitment tonight that you're going to meet with him, and you're going to make that effort, even if you're terrible at it, you're going to keep making that effort until you get it right. And if you are doing well in that area, I want you to make a commitment to continue that and to come alongside others to help encourage them in their walk with God. As like I said earlier, Shan likes to remind us that we're 55 and now we can get senior discounts some places. There's one thing I've learned at my wise old age now is that there is no limit to what God wants to teach us. We will never reach a limit. And then once we breathe that last breath, he's going to teach us even more on the other side. So he always wants us getting into the Word. He always wants to be giving us his daily bread and that. I shared with you earlier my journey and journaling and all that. And I got finished up the New Testament. And 2 years ago, I started the Old Testament. And it took me about 2 years of journaling it, and I've gotten through it. And now I'm in the New Testament again. I'm in Luke. And it's been really cool. God has, it's cool to look through the lens of the Old Testament into the New Testament. And through these years, God has given me a firm foundation in him. I no longer am confused about who God is and what he teaches. And it's because of what he's been teaching me, because of that time that I'm spending regularly with him. And I'm give praise and thanks and glory. So I pray that you'll just continue to seek God and let him take you deeper in him.
We want to thank you for praying for Nazarene missions and missionaries and all that you do for the global outreach, but also what you're doing here. And I'd just like to pray for your church if I could. Well, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be together and to fellowship and to worship and to praise you. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for all that are part of it. I thank you for those who have stepped up and are leading it, even though they don't have a pastor here full time. Lord, I just thank you that you are working in their midst. I pray, Lord, you bring them encouragement and that you would just guide and direct each step they take. I ask, Lord, you'd help each one to be the shining light and the salt in this community, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit's presence would be just real and evident. We thank you for all that you're doing in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming, and we'd like to pray for you guys as well. There's never too much prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together and hear what you're doing on the warmer side of the earth, Lord. thank you for being a God that's not just in one little church, not one little town or one little corner of the world, but that is concerned about the people around the globe, Lord, and loves each one of us as if there is only one of us, Lord. Sometimes we wonder what God is doing and if God has forgotten us, Lord, but we see through the people around us and their missionaries, that you are living and active all around the world, and we thank you for that. We pray your blessing and protection on the Ackermans as they move from one island to another. It seems like a daunting endeavor. I would be worried about my stuff falling in the ocean. And thank you for them being able to be here, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.